A special time that we get to share together. It's bread, it's juice, but during this time when we have a chance, we allow it to mean so much more than just physical bread and physical juice. It's bread that is broken. In like fashion as Christ's body was broken. It's juice that comes from grapes that are crushed in order to enjoy its sweetness, as Christ's life was crushed so that we could enjoy life's sweetness. Amen. And in Luke chapter 22, this is why he says, in Luke 22, he says, "With fervent desire, I have desired to share this meal with you." Let me just read it. Luke 22, I believe it's verse 14. It says, "When the hour had come, he, Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" That suffering, it was a pledge of his infinite love, the kind of love that is stronger than death. And he says, verse 16, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And someone could look at that and say, wow, Jesus was being very fatalistic too. I'm not going to eat of this anymore. I'm not going to drink of this anymore. But did you notice that part? Until the kingdom of God comes. In other words, he knew that this was just a stopping point temporarily. And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, where we get to share this meal with him face to face. And that's because the tomb is empty, right? Until all it's fulfilled, what they ate and drank that night was to be the pledge of the kingdom that would soon come. And so that's why we're doing this today. Yes, we're declaring his death, but we're also declaring his life and the life that is to come. And so with that said, we're going to have two prayers, a prayer of blessing for the bread and a prayer of blessing for the juice. And so if you would, just bow your heads as our elders pray for us.
Dear Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you so much for dying on the cross for us, that your body was bruised and broken, that we might be healed and we might be made alive. And so as we eat of this symbol of your broken body, of this bread, we ask your blessing on it, and we ask your cleansing on our lives. Amen.
Loving Father in heaven, as we gather together here, surrounding this emblem of your body, O God, we ask you that you will bless these juice, only the juice, but it resembles the blood that you ask us to continue doing this as long as we are on earth. We're looking forward for that time, O Lord, that you will serve us in heaven with all our brothers and sisters, as we are looking forward for that day. Mm-hmm. For we ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand together. This time our deacons are going to serve. These emblems to those who want to choose by faith to receive Christ's sacrifice. And while they do that, we're going to be reading some selected readings from different portions of the Gospels, from Matthew chapter 27 and also Matthew chapter 28, as it's written in our responsive reading section in the hymnal.
Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then wove a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
After the Sabbath had dawned on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He was risen, just as he said.
Amen.
Go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead."
Yes.
So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greeting," he said. They came to him, clapped his feet, and worshiped him.
Amen.
Thank you.
And that's the story of Jesus. The story of the risen Savior continues, and you know, the rest of the New Testament elaborates that Jesus lives forever to make intercession for you and I. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. When John, the last living disciple, is wondering, how is this thing going to end? How is this thing going to pan out? He's given a vision. And that vision is of Jesus, the glorified Christ, standing in the midst of the lampstand, standing in God's sanctuary. He's ministering to each one, making sure those flickering flames don't flicker out. That's the risen Savior. That's how this story is going to pan out. He is risen. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul just kind of recounting how he had been instructed about the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And at this time, I will invite you just to take your bread. Reflect upon the broken body of Jesus. And if you want to receive by faith and remember him, go ahead and eat this. Take and eat. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" That's loaded. The new covenant. It spoke of God's law, God's character, not just being on tables of stone outside of you, but now being written upon the tablets of your heart inside of you. That's why we take the bread, not just in our hands, we put it in our mouths. That's why we take the cup and not just leave it on the table, we put it in our very selves. Because the new covenant is simply that. God wants to write his law in your heart and mind. And so that was made possible by the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus. And he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so if you long for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life, bought and purchased by the blood of Christ, go ahead, take and drink this cup. Amen. Amen. Are you thankful that Jesus died for your sake? Are you even more thankful that Jesus lives for your sake? Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer of consecration together, and then a hymn, "Because He Lives," number 526. So go ahead and grab your hymnal and turn there right now, and then let's pray together. Number 526, we'll just probably sing the first stanza and chorus together. But let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege of remembering Christ. We know that remembering is more than just an intellectual exercise. Remembering is a faith exercise. Remembering is an act where we actually look to you and lean upon you. And so we look to the body and blood of Jesus and realize that his death means our life. Today, Father, we want to live because you live. And so with that said, I pray for the assurance of the Holy Spirit actually alive and well in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just realized one thing. Sorry, I should have mentioned this. This is totally anticlimactic. But one thing that we, you know, customarily do on the 13th Sabbath, just remembering how much Christ gave for us, the deacons actually collect an offering to give to others. It's called the Deacon's Fund that meets financial emergency need. And so you'll see offering plates in the lobby. And if you feel moved to give in that practical way, that's what those offering plates are for. So let's sing together hymn number 526, Because He Lives. Shall we stand together? Just the first verse. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to die, heal and forgive. He lived and died.